Take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. And though I had said that my passage would only be Galatians 5, 22 through 25, but after looking at things, I needed to expand that to be able to better explain what I would like to share with you and the thoughts that the Lord has put on my heart to share with you. So, if you are there, Galatians 5, we want to start at verse 13. Verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Let's pray. Father, you have promised that your word gives life, and in life, light, that we might see, obey, yield, and walk in the light that you have given us, not by our power, but by the power of the indwelling Spirit, whom you have given to us as the seal of our salvation. And Father, as we look at this scripture this evening, oh, how I pray that we would understand that it is you who works in us both to do and will according to your good pleasure, and that the fruit of our lives, as it pertains to the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is from him and by him and through him. Amen. Some of the thoughts that came to mind as I was thinking about the fruit of the Spirit didn't really come originally to me. I have been listening to a podcast by a man by the name of Sinclair Ferguson. And Sinclair Ferguson is a fellow of Ligonier's, and he has a podcast on their show. And he took 2 weeks to go through the fruit of the Spirit and explaining what they were. And I thought, wow. And so I wanted to share these thoughts concerning not only the fruit of the Spirit, but the works of the flesh. I want you to imagine and think about fruit. And when I think about fruit or produce, I think of a garden. Now, a garden isn't just a plot of ground. When we get ready to plant a garden, what is it that you think of? Do you think any old ground would do? No. You look and you find ground that you think would be proper for what you want to grow, whether it's an orchard or whether it's a vegetable garden. You have to choose it. You're not going to choose the rocky hill. You're not going to choose the hard pan. By all means, you're not going to choose the hard pan. However, you're going to look for a spot, and then you're going to cut it out. And once you cut it out, you have to prepare it. And so you either use a rotor tiller or you use a spade shovel and turn it over, depending how you want to do it. If it's a big enough garden, you can maybe use a tractor. But you start preparing the ground, and you get it to where it's clotted up, but then the clods get broken down. Then it's raked and disked, and you get it going. And then you add something. You say, well, now I got the ground, but I can need some fertilizer. So I put a little bit of fertilizer in there. And then, you know, I think I'll put some patio dirt in there to where it will be nice and rich. And when things get planted in it, it would grow and just go wonderful for me. And I'll be able to sit back and enjoy the fruits of my labor. So I do that. But then I start seeing something. And I look. Oh, man, where did these weeds come from? And the weeds get in my garden. And the weeds just suck the life out of the ground that I so worked so hard to get just perfect. Cotton picking weeds anyway. And so the weeds have to be dealt with, don't they? So you get in there and you start pulling weeds. And you think, oh, I got it this time. Well, bummer. They keep popping up. They keep popping up. And you're thinking, what is it going to take? Well, you could get some Roundup and spray, but then you want to be careful because you might hurt the plant. And so you see, the garden, the things that you plant, need to be nourished and cared for. Weeds, on the other hand, they just seem to pop up naturally, and they bear no fruit. Well, the Christian life works pretty much the same way, because in the Christian life, we find that the works of the flesh come naturally to us, but the fruit of the Spirit comes supernaturally. It's not natural. It's easy for us then to be weeds in God's garden, if I may put it that way. But He knows what to do. He's the one who is the ultimate gardener. And so we want to take a look at the few minutes that I have this evening, because we want to look at the works of the flesh, and we want to look at the fruit of the Spirit. And my main thought is that the works of the flesh come naturally, but the fruit of the Spirit is supernatural. And so with that said, let's take a look at the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. And let's think of it in a figuratively way of the weeds in our life. Just like weeds, the work of the flesh comes naturally to us because we still have our sin nature that indwells us. God chose not to get rid of it. He wants to work in us. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to pull the weeds out of our lives. And their manifestations come, you know, out of nowhere. Sometimes bursts of anger, jealousies, and we wonder, what's going on? And so we just beside ourselves because we don't want to do these things. We have the Holy Spirit, but we seem to do the things that come naturally, even as believers. And so they get manifested. And look at what they are: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorceries, enmity, strife, jealousies, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envies, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. And do we see then some of these works of the flesh in other passages of Scripture as well? There's a list in Ephesians chapter 5. There's another list in Galatians chapter 3. And so we see that the works of the flesh get identified in our lives. And we have a warning, though, because not only are they identified, our Lord God, through the apostle, says this: I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so it's vitally important for us to understand what this means. It isn't saying a one and out. In other words, the weeds are going to be there. God doesn't throw the fruit of the vine out with the weeds. He cultivates it. He nurtures it. And so it's not that. It's one and out. But it reminds me of something Tim said this morning in his sermon. What do you want to be doing when the Lord Jesus returns? Do you want to be involved in drunkenness? Do you want to be involved in rivalries and jealousies and strife and divisions and possibly some of even those other ones that are so horrid? No, because you see, we are justified by faith. We are declared righteous by our loving God. And so it is He who has brought us to this place. But He needs us to be then dealing with the weeds, the things in our lives that are not pleasing, which brings us to the fruit of the Spirit and its being supernatural. And two things about that: the means by which the Spirit's fruit is produced, and the Spirit's fruit identified. And what are the means then of how the Holy Spirit then starts producing fruit in us? Well, it tells us in verse 16, by walking by the Spirit. Verse 18, by being led by the Spirit. Verse 25, living by the Spirit. And there is also the part that an action is involved. And we can find some of that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And we are to add many things. And it says this: for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For these qualities are yours and are increasing, or should be increasing. But again, it's not something we can do on our own, folks. I can't do that on my own. It takes the Holy Spirit indwelling me and me yielding to the Holy Spirit. And to say in another way, we must live our lives in dependence on the Holy Spirit, just like the branch cannot bear fruit without the vine. So let's look at the fruit then. Let's see how it's identified. First, there's love, joy, peace, followed by patience, kindness, goodness. Then, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And God's word says, against such things there is no law. An idea here is the fruit is singular when it says fruit. But I want you to think of it in clusters of three. Because the first cluster, love, joy, peace, go together. If you have the kind of love that it's talking about here, and that is the kind of love that God has for us, it's a supreme love. It's one where the preciousness of the object that is loved is esteemed and held high. And if you have that kind of love, then there's joy. Joy seems to just follow. And when you have that kind of joy, there's that peace. There's that tranquility of knowing that your life is right with your Heavenly Father. They go together. And when then the next cluster, patience, kindness, and goodness. And when you have the first three, patience comes a little easier. The Holy Spirit working in you to do His good will. And since you're such a patient individual and bearing the characteristic of patience with the fruit, you're kinder. You're just a kinder individual. And you do good things, goodness, because it comes out of you, because it's the Holy Spirit manifesting these things in your life. They're not conjured up by us. We can't. Oh, well, maybe we can for a moment, but it's not sustainable. Look how Jeff explained his testimony. He thought he could sustain it. It didn't sustain. And then he thought he could sustain it again. He couldn't. But when the Holy Spirit gripped that life, the change was evident. And so, the goodness. The next cluster, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what a joy to know that that cluster then works so well. Because faithfulness is so important. Faithfulness, and another way to put faithfulness, is consistency. Being consistent in our lives. And then gentleness and self-control. Again, upon close examination, we see that this fruit is not natural to us. It's just not. And though we may exhibit parts of it at times, but we can never say, oh, look at me. Can't you see how the fruit of the Spirit just oozes out of me? Folks, it doesn't work that way. It is, I don't think the Spirit's fruit is evident in us within ourselves. What I'm trying to say is, you can't say, oh, I'm exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. Too often it's when others see the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. I have received compliments from people about my spiritual life. And folks, I have to tell you, I don't see it. Thank God it doesn't depend on what I see, but it depends on the working of the Holy Spirit in me that is then evident to others. Why? Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is supernatural. And it shouldn't be that I would be looking at it and saying, boy, aren't I special. So, when we have the love of God, there we have that joy. But then we see how it works. It's not us doing the work, but Christ in us. For as Christ says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Why? For apart from me, you can do nothing. And in another place, we read Christ, read this, Christ in me, the hope of glory, through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So let's live by the Spirit so that he can put to death the works of the flesh in our lives, that sanctifying work that needs to take place. And then produce in us the fruit. Because you see the soil that I talked about? God's the one who prepared the soil. God's the one who chose the soil. When he brought you to salvation, he's the one who planted you in the soil that would bear fruit. And so it's all his work. We need then to just yield to him, be dependent upon him, and be able to pray, Father, here I am. Do with me what you will for your glory and my benefit. Let's pray. Father, we come before you again, and we thank you for this, your word, because it is your word, and it is you who work in us to your good pleasure. It is you, Christ, who nourishes us that we would bear fruit. And the Father prunes us that we would even bear more fruit. And the Holy Spirit, oh, how he then produces this fruit that is glorifying to our Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our triune God, working together in harmony to sanctify us for his glory. Amen.